This morning, we continue our multiple Sunday sermon titled The Hall of Faith, found in one of the most well-known chapters in Scripture, Hebrews chapter 11. Thus far, we have had five sermons, and this morning is the sixth. And during the first Sunday, the author of Hebrews laid the foundation defining what is true biblical faith. And during the rest of the chapter, he has given us numerous examples of those who demonstrated faith in their lives. And thus far, we've looked at Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham and Sarah, Jacob, Isaac, and Joseph. And this is what we have seen. As I have said each week, we will see multiple examples of those who exercised faith in the Lord, and the author of Hebrews, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, praises these people for the faith that they showed. Each one sets us an example that we are to follow in their steps. And as we follow their example, we will live faithful lives unto the Lord. Today we are going to look at the faithfulness of the people of Israel as they left Egypt and entered the land of Canaan and the land the Lord promised to them. We will also look at one of the most unlikely people, Rahab. So at this time, I encourage you to turn in a Bible with me to Hebrews chapter 11. If you don't have a Bible, we have those red Bibles in the pews as well. And I'm going to begin by reading the verses where our focus will be this morning. That's verses 29 through 31. Hebrews 11. Verses 29 through 31. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab, the prostitute, did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. The big idea that we have seen over the last several Sundays is to walk in the footsteps of the faithful from times of old to receive great reward. Walk in the footsteps of the faithful from times of old to receive great reward. We've seen 11 instructions how thus far, and this morning we're going to see 12, 13, and 14. The 12th instruction how is this: by seeing that the people of Israel trusted the Lord to protect them through the parted sea. And the focus here is verse 29, where the author of Hebrews highlights their faith, that they crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but of course when the Egyptians followed, they were drowned. What the author of Hebrews is describing is this famous story. I already mentioned this briefly in the previous point, where verse 27 says, by faith Moses left Egypt not being afraid of the anger of the king. But here in this verse, the author of Hebrews explicitly mentions the Red Sea crossing. This is one of the most well-known stories in the Bible. Children growing up in the church know this story very well. They know this story like they know Daniel and the lion's den and Jonah and the whale. So many different stories like that. It is the great story of God's supernatural power delivering the Israelites from the Egyptian armies that were chasing after them. This episode, of course, follows numerous efforts of Moses demanding the Pharaoh to let he and his people go, and Pharaoh refused to do so. And as Pharaoh hardened his heart and as he disobeyed, the Lord sent 10 plagues upon Pharaoh and the people of Egypt. The last one was referenced in verse 28, where the author of Hebrews again wrote, by faith, Moses kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. The last one was the worst one of all, as the firstborn children and animals were killed from every house that did not have the sprinkled blood on it. After all this took place, the Israelites fled from Pharaoh, and their escape and crossing of the Red Sea is described in Exodus 14. Let's pick up the moment in the story where Moses and the Israelites walked through the waters. in Exodus 14, verses 21 through 29. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and made the sea dry land. And the waters were divided, and the people of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. The Egyptians pursued and went in after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And in the morning watched the Lord in the pillar of fire and of cloud, looked down on the Egyptian forces and threw the Egyptian forces into a panic, clogging their chariot wheels so that they drove heavily. And the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from before Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, that the water may come back upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen." So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its normal course when the morning appeared. And as the Egyptians fled into it, the Lord threw the Egyptians into the midst of the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen of all the host of Pharaoh that had followed them into the sea. Not one of them remained. But the people of Israel walked on dry ground through the sea, the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. What the author of Hebrews highlights in verse 29 is the faithfulness of the people of Israel. Similar to what I said with Sarah earlier in this chapter, their faith was not flawless, not even close. Far from it. Exodus 14, verses 11 through 12, we learn that Moses, what happened is that they complained to Moses. They said, "We'd much rather be in Egypt. You brought us out here in the wilderness to starve." But the Lord, of course, was not happy with their complaining. He told Moses in Exodus 14, 15 to tell the people of Israel to go forward. And as they did this, Moses lifted up his staff, and the Lord used a strong, constant east wind to part the waters so that on their right and on their left were the waters, but before them was the dry land. Okay, so they complained before, but now they are obedient. The people of Israel did something that they never could have dreamed of. They walked on dry land into the midst of the sea. Remarkable what took place. And you can imagine that they were terrified as they saw the waters on both sides of them. But they walked forward in faith, trusting that the Lord was going to hold off the waters and keep the dry ground before them. Then once the Lord told Moses to lift his staff, the waters drowned everyone in Pharaoh's army that chased after the Israelites. And the people of Israel did not surrender to the Egyptians to go back to Egypt, but rather stepped forward in faith into the waters. They did this even though they doubted, but eventually their faith prevailed. And this is another reminder for us that overcoming doubt is common in the life of faith. We all have to overcome doubt in the Lord's care and promises, but as we do, we see the Lord do wonderful things in our lives. In this way, the author of Hebrews uses the people of Israel as an example for us. They eventually trusted and walked through the waters to escape Pharaoh's armies. Walk in the footsteps of the faithful from times of old to receive great reward. And the 12th instruction how is by seeing that the people of Israel trusted the Lord to protect them through the parted sea. Then we get to the 13th instruction, that we are to walk in the footsteps of the faithful from times of old. And that is, the people of Israel trusted that the Lord would bring down the walls of Jericho. Okay, seeing that the people of Israel trusted that the Lord would bring down the walls of Jericho. Okay, another story that children love to learn about. Verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. This is a well-known Old Testament story, and the author continues to go in chronological order, telling the inspiring stories of the faithful of the past. In the history of Israel, as we just saw, the Israelites were led by Moses out of Egypt. They crossed the Red Sea and then wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. It would not be Moses who would lead the Israelites into the promised land. It would be God's appointed servant, Joshua. One of the big episodes of Joshua and the Israelites taking the land was the story of the walls of Jericho falling down. The Lord told Joshua in Joshua 6:2 that he had given Jericho into his hands. In the following verses, the Lord told Joshua that the men of war fighting on behalf of Israel were to march around the city once for 6 days. Then on the seventh day, they were to march around the city 7 times. As they marched around the city 7 times, 7 priests were to blow their trumpets, and all the people of Israel would then shout, and the walls of Jericho would come tumbling down. These were the instructions that the Lord gave to Joshua, and the people who are commended by the author of Hebrews did not question Joshua, but they did as they were told. The people at this point would already have experienced miracles as they saw the Lord do much great things. The most notable came in Joshua 3 when the Israelites miraculously crossed the Jordan. They, of course, knew about the miracle that we just looked at when the Lord took the people of Israel under the leadership of Moses across the Red Sea. The people in Joshua's day would have known about this as well. They were not far removed from that at all. And now they're crossing a different body of water known as the Jordan River. The Lord had proved much to them in doing these great miracles. Now in our lives, as we face difficult times, when our faith is tested, we need to remember all of those times before where the Lord came through for us. How important it is for us to do that, to have that as an exercise in our lives. The longer you walk with the Lord and you see His care for your life, the stronger your faith should be that He is going to deliver, that He is going to show up when you need His help. The people of Israel, as they stood outside Jericho, reached a place where they had developed strong trust in the Lord. The same God who brought them across the Jordan River is the same God who is going to deliver the people of Jericho into their hands. The people of Israel, as they stood outside Jericho, they believed this. So they were eager to carry out the command that was given to them. To the natural mind, what they were told sounds impossible. How could walking around the walls of Jericho for 7 days, going around 7 times on the seventh day, blowing horns and shouting, cause walls that are a military fortress to come down? How could this possibly happen? The people of Israel didn't think it was foolish to do these things, but rather they trusted that these actions would bring about the result that the Lord said would come about. The walls fell down, and the strong men of Jericho that opposed Israel were defeated. So often in life, the natural mind would never do what believers regularly do because we trust the Lord. What we do seems strange to the outside world. Why would a believer leave a comfortable situation to take a risk? Why would the believer choose the hard path when the easy path is an option, as we talked about 1 week ago? You have those fork in the road experiences. We always have them. Why would you take the hard path when the easy path is right there before you? One does these things out of obedience to the Lord, but to the world it makes no sense. But the believer knows that blessing awaits the obedience. The people of Israel trusted that the Lord would give them the land as Joshua led them. This whole process was a great risk, but they believed in the Lord. Think about what the Lord will do for us if we only trust Him. I love that scene in the Gospels where Jesus is outside the boat. He's walking on water, right? And it's not frozen water, right? This is real open water. He's outside the boat and He tells Peter, come to me. And Peter gets out of the boat. Peter started off good. Lord, you know, Peter was a very impulsive man at this time in his life. And so he gets out there. And then he starts to doubt, and he starts to sink. The Lord wants us not to look at the things around us, not to look at our circumstances, not to look at taking the easy way out. He wants us to look at Him and to walk all the way across that water to Him. As we look at the life of faith, we need to always have that image in our mind. Walk out to Him. Don't be afraid. He's going to take care of you. Just step out in faith and walk on that water to Him. Think about all the blessing that awaits if we will only do what He tells us to do. As we journey through the life of faith, we have opportunities before us to step out in faith, and they come all the time. And as we step out in faith, the Lord is going to bless our faithfulness. We have to believe that. He did it in the past to the people of Israel, and He's done it in the past in our lives, and He's going to do it again. To many, the people of Israel would have looked foolish to do these actions, but they stepped out in faith that as they did what they were told, the Lord would give Jericho into their hand. And as we too look foolish to the world as we step out in faith, the Lord is pleased, and His blessing will be seen in our lives in a multitude of ways. Walk in the footsteps of the faithful from times of old to receive great reward. The 13th instruction, how, is by the people of Israel trusted that the Lord would bring down the walls of Jericho. And now we're going to see the final instruction, how, today, the 14th instruction, how, that we are to walk in the footsteps of the faithful of old. And that is by seeing that Rahab showed faith by helping the Israelite spies. Verse 31, by faith Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. Here we see the second mention of a faithful woman in this chapter. The first one, of course, was Abraham's wife, Sarah. But this story is unlikely because of the life that Abraham lived to this point. The story of Rahab and the spies is found in Joshua chapter 2, and we'll start by reading Joshua chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, where we see the courage of Rahab shown. And the Joshua the son of Nun sent two men secretly from Shittim as spies, saying, "Go view the land, especially Jericho." And they went and came into the house of a prostitute whose name was Rahab, and lodged there. And it was told to the king of Jericho, "Behold, men of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land." Then the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, "Bring out the men who have come to you, who entered your house, for they have come to search out all the land." But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. And she said, "True, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And when the gate was about to be closed at dark, the men went out, and I do not know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them." But she had brought them to the roof and hid them with the stalks of the flax that she had laid in order on the roof. So the men pursued after them on the way to the Jordan as far as the fords. And the gate was shut as soon as the pursuers had gone out. Then we see Rahab in Joshua chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. She knew of the Lord and had great respect for Him. Let's read this. "Before the men lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, 'I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the fear of you has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the river, to Sihon and Og, whom you defeated to destruction. And as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath.'" What we see Rahab do here is she explains the word that had spread of the great works that the Lord had performed for the people of Israel. She knew the story of the Lord leading the people of Israel across the Red Sea and defeating Pharaoh's army. She knew of the story of Moses and the Israelites defeating the Amorite kings, Sihon and Og, as the people of Israel came into the land of Canaan that the Lord promised to them. What we see is that Rahab not only knew of the great works of the Lord, as her fellow people of Jericho knew, she admired the Lord for his great works. This is very important to understand. One can know the greatness of God and his great power without admiring him. Okay, let me say that again. One can know the greatness of God and his great power and not admire him. Unbelievers can fear the judgment of God and hell without worshiping him. This happens all the time. The greatest example is Satan. Satan knows of the greatness of God and God's power, and he fears his power. But Satan hates the Lord and has zero admiration for him. There's no worship with Satan. He knows the Lord, but he doesn't know him in a way of worship like we do. The people of Jericho, largely speaking, did not have admiration for the Lord, but they did fear him. In Joshua 2:9, she again said, "The fear of you has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you." The inhabitants of Jericho fear that the Lord will do to them what he did to the Egyptians and what he did to the two Amorite kings, Sihon and Og. But Rahab was different from the other inhabitants in Jericho. And as I mentioned, this was a great surprise considering Rahab's past. Joshua 2:1 tells us that Rahab was a prostitute. The author of Hebrews identifies her in the same way in verse 31 of Hebrews 11. She is described in that way in the passage that Keith read earlier, James chapter 2, verse 25. We need to understand this about life. Life is unpredictable. This is an old saying. Reality is stranger than fiction. You ever hear that? And the more I live, especially in 2025, it just seems like that's coming true more and more. The reality films are more interesting than the fiction films, right? Because it's just such a strange world that we live in. Life is unpredictable. Sometimes the most unlikely people follow the Lord. The most unlikely people are going to be in heaven one day. That's true. The Lord loves to save people like this, like Rahab, the people that never would have been predicted to follow him. It brings him great glory to do so. It shows his great grace towards sinners to do so. In Jericho, if a list of possible converts were to be put on a list, she would have been at the bottom of that list of possible people who would follow the one true God. But she didn't just fear when she heard of the works of the Lord. She worshipped his greatness. In Joshua 2:9, Rahab told the two spies she was hiding, "I know that the Lord has given you the land." That's faith right there. And this is interesting. At this point in history, Rahab would have not had scripture like we have, but she heard of the great promise that the Lord made to Abraham, that the Lord was going to give to Abraham and his offspring the land of Canaan, the land that Rahab resided in. This is her homeland. It's not our land. It's their land. Think about how much humility that takes. God promises to a people that this land you've been living in is actually their land. She believed that. We can see her faith in this narrative through her brave action in hiding these two spies. Think of what a great risk this would have been to her life. She put her very life on the line to hide these two spies who spied out the land. Listen again to what she says in verse 11. "And as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in the heavens above and on earth beneath. Rahab is worshiping the Lord. What we have to understand is that at this time in history, these peoples believed in multiple gods. The people of Jericho believed in multiple gods. That's what the Canaanites did. Rahab believes in one God. She believes that the God of Israel, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, is the one true God. He's the God of heaven and earth. That's what she is communicating. We can see why Rahab risked her life to help the two spies. She herself believes in the Lord, and as the narrative goes, once the walls of Jericho fell and the city was destroyed, she was brought safely out of the city. The Lord remembered her faithfulness. She was delivered. As the author of Hebrews writes again in verse 31, that she did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. We know that Rahab left her sinful state and the remainder of her days were pure because she is mentioned in the line that led to Christ. Isn't that remarkable? What a remarkable story this is. Why aren't there more stories about Rahab? Matthew chapter 1, verses 5 through 6. Salmon, the father of Boaz, by Rahab. And Boaz, the father of Obed, by Ruth. And Obed, the father of Jesse. And Jesse, the father of David, the king. So Rahab was the mother of Boaz, which led in only a few generations to the birth of King David. And of course, from King David comes the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Rahab is in the line of Christ. So the author of Hebrews highlights the triumph of Rahab's life. Her story is one that needed to be told. Those that have not lived a life dedicated to the Lord, that have a checkered past, what an example she is for them. A checkered life can turn into a triumphant one. Think about someone like Chuck Colson, who was involved in the Watergate scandal in the 1970s. He spent time in prison. He once said, after his conversion, he said, if my mom got in front of my political aspirations, I would step on her. That's where he was in life at one point. He was called the hatchet man for President Richard Nixon. And yet when he was in prison, he came to faith in Christ and then spent the rest of his life serving the Lord. He was involved in prison ministry, one of those ministries he was very much involved in. But people with checkered pasts, the Lord can use in great ways. There's one other thing I want to highlight about Rahab. She risked her life to help someone, to help two people that she didn't even know. Think about that. What if we're in a situation like that, where we need to help someone, and it's at a great cost to ourselves? Are we willing to do that? That's what love is. That's what stepping out in faith is. What an example for us to follow. And the author of Hebrews highlights this. This is someone, even with her checkered past, we are to follow her example of faith. And we all think that, yeah, I'd do that. But once the circumstance comes, we realize how hard that is. Right? And so Rahab is a great example for us. So we are to walk in the footsteps of the faithful from times of old to receive great reward. And the 14th instruction how is by seeing that Rahab showed faith by helping the Israelite spies. Now next Sunday, Lord willing, we are going to see the faithfulness. We're actually going to focus on one verse next week, verse 32, because there's five men mentioned. Actually, it's all men: Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, and David, and Samuel. We're going to look at next Sunday. That's actually six names we're going to look at. So verse 32, all men who lived lives of faith that we are to follow in their steps. And I look forward to looking at that with you because there's some great examples here, just like we saw today, of those who have gone before us. But this time, let's bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, we do thank you for the Word of God. We thank you that it instructs us. We've seen that today in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 29 through 31. Lord, you want us to step out in faith. Just like I give that illustration of Peter walking out to Jesus. You don't want us to stop and doubt and fall into the waters like Peter did early on in his journey. We want to be like Peter toward the end of the journey when he lived a life of great faith. And he actually gave up his own life serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we've seen these examples today. We've seen the examples of the people of Israel of the past. We've seen the example of Rahab, an unlikely person. Help us to follow their example as they were faithful to you. And through that, you will be glorified. So give us the strength through your Spirit to carry out that in our lives. And even apply this, Lord, to everyone right here today. You have areas where you want each person in this room to step out in faith. And for some, there might be a few people here today who've never put their trust in Christ. And that first step of faith is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who went to the cross, who died for their sins, who rose from the dead. And by believing in him, will have their sins forgiven and receive eternal life. So I pray for that. But apply this, Father, through your Spirit to everyone today, right where they are at. In Jesus' name, amen.